weighs significantly on behalf of the person who can bring it. On the other hand, we also know that Migru is effective, and all things being equal, a Migru will win a case. We've had case after case in the Sugya and Kaskas about him that have demonstrated that fact. The question is, what if these two pieces of evidence come in conflict? That's what we've been discussing. So just very briefly to recapitulate just the beginning, Zemer Shalavosav, Zemer Shalavosai, top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, each one says that the property belonged to my ancestors or my parents, meaning I came by it, Birusha, I inherited the property. Obviously, all things being equal, these seem to be mutually exclusive claims. Part of the discussion that we had last week and a little bit the week before that was, are they in fact mutually exclusive? Are they reconcilable? What are the conditions of reconciliation? We're not going to go back into that, but that was the issue. But all things being equal, Zelma Shalavosa, Zelma Shalavosa sound like they are mutually exclusive. So one is able to bring evidence that he was there for 3 years, but not to establish that his ancestors lived in the property. The other one can bring evidence about the taina itself, or the claim itself, namely that the property belonged to his ancestors. So the Gemara says that there's a debate on this issue. Amar Rabba, Malo Lashaker, Ibai Amalei, Minok Zvintava Chalpiyah Shnei Chazaka. So Rabba says that, well, there's a Migu here. Migu di Ibai Amar, he could have said, I bought the property. Since he has Gimel Shnei Chazaka, he would have been believed with that Taina, I bought the property from you, I've been living there for 3 years. He would have won the case. Since he has that Migu, then he should win. We should believe him when he says that I didn't buy the property, but I inherited the property. Even though there are Edim who establish that the other fellow, his ancestors lived in the property. So it would seem on the surface, according to Rabba, that what we're saying is that Migu is effective even Keneged Edim. Amar Abaye, and that's exactly what Abaye responds and says, Mali Lashaker, but Makom Edim Lo Amrinam. And Migu is a very strong force, but not when it conflicts, well, not when it comes in conflict with Aden. Aden is superior to Migu. And what we discussed a little bit last week and the week before was, how is there really such an argument at all? What we saw was that the view of the Ramban and most of the Rishonim in his wake are of the opinion that there's no argument really on this point. Everybody agrees that if it really is a clash between a Migu and Edim, Edim will win every single time. There's no Manda Amar in the Gemara that disagrees. Aye, so what's the Sugya all about? And the parallel Gemara in Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, which seems to say in the name of Rav Ginsburg the same thing. But as we explained, it's all about the parameters of reconciliation. Namely, how contorted will we be if we have two pieces of evidence, right? So if both of them seem to come from, so both of them seem to have validity, so then we will go out of our way to try to reconcile, you know, to find some sort of hechatimtzi, some sort of scenario which accommodates both of them. So if I provide you with flimsy evidence and it seems to be contradictory, and it's contradicted by more impressive evidence, so then it's obvious that what you do is you just reject one in favor of the other. But if I have two impressive sources of knowledge, and all things being equal, right, I would, be hesitant to reject, to turn my back on either of these evidence. So that prompts me, that motivates me, right, to try to find a scenario which accommodates both. What might be dochak, right, what might be a distortion or a contortion at least in one circumstance is viewed as the most plausible explanation to reconcile two legitimate sources of knowledge and of information. That's what's going on, or that's the discussion that's going on according to the Ramban, according to Rabbi Kidager, etc. According to those Rishonim, all of whom are the opinion that there is no man d'amar who thinks that in an out-and-out struggle, clash, take-no-prisoners struggle between Migu and Edim, no one says that Migu is going to be superior to Edim. No one thinks that. That's the That's the view of the majority of Rishonim. However, what we saw was that there's a minority view of the Rishonim, namely the Ravon, who says that it's trey v'trey, and the probably the simple reading of the Rashbam on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis is that there really is a Manda Amar, Rav Chisda, or possibly Rabba, who's of the opinion that Migu is the equivalent of Edim, or Migu b'mokum Edim, Migu b'win b'mokum Edim, and we tried to explain this last week on the basis of the idea that normally Edus is considered 100%, Edus is Xeris HaKasub. We treat it, even though we know that in the system there are going to be some abuses. This is a very important principle, but we know that there'll be 5% of Sheker. I'm making up the number. It could be 3% and it could be 10%. It doesn't really matter. We know there'll be a percentage, but the halakha tells us to ignore it. The halakha tells us that Edus is 100%. But maybe that's true only the Mokom in a situation where there's no other counter evidence. The second that you have counter evidence to consider, just like some Rishonim will say, counter evidence is a good reason for what otherwise would be dochak reconciliation, so too there are Rishonim who will say that counter evidence is a reason to challenge what nor ordinarily is the 100% presumption of Aegis. And once you're challenging 100%, it's not important that you be equal anymore. It's sufficient that you have downgraded Edus from this pedestal of being, you know, 100% proof. And once that's true, then you've opened things up. That's what we've been discussing. So what I mentioned last week was that once you have this kind of general approach, so then it's possible to raise the question whether we can distinguish between Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, and Migu. Now, we paskin clearly, like Abaya, like Rava, both here on Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph, and later on in Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, that Mali L'Shaker, B'Malkum Edom Lo Minon. We spent time trying to figure out, well, what does Rava think, what does Rav Chisda think, because they're obviously important authority figures, and they're, Derech HaKashiva, their way of thinking is important to us. If Rav Chisda has a certain view about Edus, so that's important, whether we paskin like it or not. But not only that, but there's always what I call the echoes. We don't paskin like Rav Chisda, we don't paskin like Rabba, but because these are great men whose understanding of the halakhic system is meaningful to us, it's very possible that their perspective is reflected in things that we actually do paskin like too. We might not accept this psak, but the idea, right, as I say, resonates elsewhere. So part of the question is there any room to distinguish between Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, which is at minimum a stronger Migu, maybe even more than that, maybe even a different level of Birur completely qualitatively, right? What if you have a Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir against Edim? That's what we're talking about at the very end of last week's shiur, and that's what I want to pick up with here. For just a minute, I want to show what the issue is, and then I want to talk about Pesha Asar and Migu in one other example very briefly. And then we'll go back to the next Gemara about Hakasha. So this comes up in the following case. Started discussing it last time. A very important case called Krevi Dravidi Baravid. It's the Gemara here on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. One of the famous cases of Cheskos Abatim. There are certain cases of Cheskos Abatim that are quoted everywhere, all over Kosher Mishpat. Rabba Bar Shirshum, Krevi Dravidi Baravin, Naska Drabab, that's certain very, classically famous case. So we should be exposed to them. Anyway, the Gemara here, Lama Gimelov, says the following. Krevi Dravidi Baravin, Shachiv, the relative of Dravidi Baravin, died. The Shabak Dikla, he left behind a Yerusha of a Dekel tree. Now the question is, who's going to inherit this man? Right? So Ravidi Baravin Amar, Ana Karivna, now different Girsos here, and different readings of the Gemara. There are about five different readings of this Gemara, we're not going to go through all of them right now, but we're going to talk about at least one or two just to bring it into context. So the way we have the Girsos in the Gemara is Ravidi Baravin said, Ana Karivna Te, I'm the closest relative, and therefore I should inherit the Dekel tree. Hahu Gavra Amar, Ana Karivna Te, the other fellow said, no, I am the closest relative. I should get the Dekel tree. In other words, you have mutually, seemingly mutually exclusive claims. Lesof odile the iu kariv today. So this is the way that the Gemara reads according to our text, and this is the way the Rashbam had it as well. And that is that the rival to Ravidi Baravin turned around after making his initial claim that he was the closest relative. And he said, and he conceded, that he was not the closest relative, and that he was not entitled, presumably, to the Dekel tree. So the Gemara says, Ukmi Rav Chisda biyadei. So that, once that take took place, so Rav Chisda paskin that the Dekel tree should go to Rav Idi Barab. But Amalei, then Rav Idi Barab turned around and he said, now that the guy has admitted, right, that I and not he am the Karov today, so it's not just the Dekel tree, right? Lahadali, Peri, Dachem, Auyoma, Ad Hashta, the Peros that were eaten. Because what happened here, according to the Rashbam at least, is that the Karov, Ravi Barabba, was a bit of an aggressive guy. So each one of these people was making a claim that they were the owners of this property. So the rule was, Kold Alim Gavar. Right? The Gemara later on discusses that more fully. The Gemara on Lamed Dalet on the base. Whoever is stronger wins, because neither one was Tofes. So this Karov was controlling the Karka and eating the payros, and now Rabbi Baravin said, listen, he should have to repay me the payros that were already eaten. So the Gemara says, Amar zeh hu shomrim alav adam gadol hu, aman kasamich mar ahai, hakamar dana mikarevna tvei. So Rabbi Chisda said, listen, you know, this doesn't make any sense. The only reason that you're getting the Dekel tree is because of his hodah, but with respect to the payros, he's not moda. That's the argument of Rav Chisda. You know, let's just look at Rashbam for a second. The aman kasamches lezakos peila nahai hodah pid shemoda akshav shata korav yoser. Hahiu da Amar ad Hashta Hana Kariv Natsay. Till now he's been saying, I'm the Karov, the Achal Peros, the Din called Alam Gabar. The Zeh Shemoda Aksha, Hareu Kenosin the Chalasa Ilam Midaito, Alpha Pisha Lozakisa Mominadin. That's the way Rav Chisda is interpreting. I'll explain more in just a second. That basically, when he turns around now and he says, okay, I'm changing my story, so he's changing his story, Mikan Ulahaba, and not Lamafreya, not in retrospect, but only going forward. Abai Barava lo sfirulu had Rav Chisda. Abai Barava disagreed with Rav Chisda. And their argument is, kivin to Odi, Odi. Rashbam explains, kivin to Odi shalok kadin ichse kadata, Odi vishalim bero sh'achal b'chein halacha. So the way Rashbam interprets this Gemara is that it revolves, the argument between Rav Chisda and Abai Barava, etc., revolves around the issue of Hadas Badin Kine Eidim Dami. And that's the only reason that we know, right, or that we're paskening that the Dekel tree will go to Rav Huna is because of the principle of Hadas Badin Kine Eidim Dami. And the question is, when is Hadas Badin Kine Eidim Dami about a particular point, to what extent is it limited to that point, or do we apply it across the board in a consistent manner? Meaning, if you were to say, I mean, just let's put it in its proper framework, as we know there's a major debate among the poskim, which has roots in Rishonim, possibly, if you read the Rashbam here, possibly in the Amoraim, and that is as follows. When you say, Odas Baldin, Kemedim Dami, so that's a form of Nemanus, we believe you, or Odas Baldin, Kemedim Dami, is we don't believe you, but it's ischaivus, right? It's a commitment, it's a form of commitment, not a form of credibility. What's the difference between commitment and credibility? One of the differences may very well be, likely to be, the question of consistent application. If we really believe you, right, then we should go back to reconstruct the story and the scenario, and whatever applications there are, we should apply consistently. So if we say, oh, the rival of Rabbi Barabin, who originally said that he was Karav Tvei, now tells you, I'm not Karav Tvei. Rabbi Barabin is closer. If we really believe him, then there's no difference between the Dekel and the Peiros. Right? Because the Odas Baldin doesn't center on some other extraneous source of Chiyuv. Right? The common denominator is, it's the Yerusha of Rabbi Barabin. It's not my Yerusha. So if you believe me, you should apply it in a consistent manner. There's no palginan when it comes to this particular namonus of Hodas Baldin Kameid. And Dami, that's exactly what Abaya and Rava said. Even the Odi. Odi, it's true he's Modeh Mikan Ola Abba. Maybe he's only interested in being Modeh about the Dekel tree. But since his story, and therefore the reconstructed scenario, is Rabbi Barabin is Karav today, so when you apply that across the board, it has implications for both Dekel and Peiros, and that's the rule of Hadas Baldin Kameidim Dami is Nemaras. On the other hand, if you take the view that Hadas Baldin Kameidim Dami is just that Hiskaipos, which means we don't believe it, we don't really believe it because of no Edim. Right? Without Edim, there's no fact. There's no reliable information. So why do we pay attention to Hodas Baldin in general? Why do we say it's Canadian, Dami? We mean that it's a skyless, it's a commitment. Now, if it's a commitment, then the question is to judge the content of that commitment. And here one might say several things. You might say, well, this commitment, well, I would have said it would be, still, this commitment is not given as a, like Rashbam says, that's a very extreme perspective. That's the perspective that says Hodos Baldin Kameidim Dami is Hischaivos, and even though it takes the form of a story, a reconstructed scenario, we ignore that because since we don't believe it one way or another anyway, we jump right to the chase, we jump to the application, and we say, you know what, Palginan, whatever he applies it to, great. There's no reason to hold him consistently to his story, because the Ischaibus is not about the story, it's about the legal consequences, and therefore we can split up the legal consequences. On the other hand, if you disagree, if you say Abai and Rava, even to Odi Odi, you could say one of two things. You could say, number one, what I just said a second ago, no, Das Baldin is not about Ischaibus, it's about Namanus. Namanus is about applying the, believing him what took place, and applying consistently all of the conclusions. And then, of course, there's no difference between Dekel and Peiros. Even if you were to take the view that Hodas Baldin is a form of Ischaibus, one might say, nonetheless, this particular Ischaibus is not in the form of conclusions. He can keep the Dekel, I can keep the Peiros. It's in the form of a story. The Ischaibus here is to this version, you know, of the truth, or this version of what took place. In which case, even from a pure Ischaibus point of view, maybe you have to be consistent in this case and say, Kivin de Odi, Odi. In any case, this is how the Rashbam interprets the Gemara, that the argument between Avchinza and Abayin Rava, whether you can distinguish between Dekel and Peiros in this situation, is all about the parameters of Hodas Baldin. Yeah.
I just The whole thing is predicated on
the bar. Well, in the interim, the point is that in the interim, the rival was living in the karka and eating the peiros based on kodam gavar. That's what Rashbam says.
How can
it
be so applied to karka?
It doesn't apply to karka, it applies to the peiros.
No,
it's fine. But what about the peiros?
No, the peiros is a result of the karka.
Fine. But with regard, there's still a dispute. There's a dispute. I mean, Karkin and Exelis is a Dinning Zela.
Right.
Here we have the classic case. The classic case of Koldal and Gavar is actually a case of Karka. With Arva. Arva is a boat.
Yeah.
The question is, what is a boat?
Right.
Talus is a talus, but an Arva is a boat. Right. A boat might be treated as, the question is, what is a boat treated as? But the issue of Kol Da'alim Gavar has nothing to do with Gezel. Right?
I'm just wondering how a person can can acquire a piece of tarka from Tzvitzu.
He's not acquiring it. It's a question of raya, birur. Whatever you want to say about Kol Olam Gavar, it's not our topic, right? Is it tzilut? Is it birur? Is it something in between? But I'm just saying, we have here a case of Kol Olam Gavar, and especially with regard to the Achilas HaPeros, according to the Rashbam, we're applying that principle. Yeah.
I'm not sure why there's a question about whether we believe him. If you take a miku, it's an issue of that money.
Right.
If we can go along with a miku, then a gut falls in. To me, it's like a kava chomer.
I mean, right. The question is, I'm not
powerful than a miku.
Okay.
So where does even the dot come in? If someone makes an admission.
Oh, you mean why would this only be a skybus and not be?
No. Well, I mean, why would anyone even question if someone makes an admission against his own interest?
Right.
Whether it was true.
Because there's still no evidence. There's still no evidence.
But the admission.
So you take his word because he has the right to commit himself, nonetheless. But if you need objective evidence, there's still no evidence. I mean, we don't know that it took place. The standard of evidence is somebody objective, two people objective, better. Right? If not, a echad has a certain status. But a person speaking about his own interests is a baal davar. We don't believe in a case where he has an ego, that's something else. The point is that it's a question of his credibility. Even then, as we've discussed, is it that we believe him, or is it kind of a muksak because he can win the case anyway, so the ability to win the case just puts him in the stronger position, right, that the other fellow has to prove, has the burden of proof, not him.
Is this related to any other Mason last for Russia? I mean, testimony?
Not really. Edom Esau Tzarash means literally that in the formality of turning himself into a Rasha, or the status of a Rasha, we don't accept his chayvus, his testimony, at all. But with regard to Chiyuv Mamon, we never say Edom Esau Tzarash, we say Adosh Bavin Kamedim Dami. I can't make myself a Potsalev. I can't go to court and incriminate myself, say, oh, I'm a murderer. Oh, I'm a thief. Without evidence. That's the rule of Einu Nemesim Atzma Russia. I will not have the legal status as a Russia, as a Goslin, as a Rotzeach, will be possibly Eidus, never mind Onshim. There'll be no Onshim, Onshi Aguf, in other words. The Oredea slash, the personal status aspects require Eidus. Einu Nemesim Atzma Russia. That might reflect the fact, again, that Hodos Baldin is a more limited halacha. But it's possible that Hadas Bodin is fine edus for Mammon, and it's still unacceptable for personal status. Because personal status affects other people, and it's just, again, more of an Easter type of halacha than a Mammon kind of halacha.
Ready?
Yeah.
Edus can only apply to Kaka.
Yeah, of course.
So would the same thing apply to an Eved?
In theory. In the avoda that you did till now, you have to repay. Let's say you had an Eved, there's a dispute who owns them. Same exact case. You inherited an Eved, and the question was, going forward, who's going to be able to lay claim to the title of this Eved? But what about the work that he's done for the last 2 years? The same thing.
Payros on the top of it. No such thing.
What?
There's no such thing as payros on the top of it.
No. No. Not usually, anyway. Yeah, no. Okay. Now, the Balamor had a different gears on this Gemara, as did many other Rishonim. Okay. And actually, had two different gears. Oh, yeah.
If he would have avoided this kind of difference,
ooh, yeah.
The Olam Gavar.
Yeah.
If he would have said, instead of saying that I would, that you are Karl, if he would have said simply, you're not Karl, but you can have it anyway.
Then there wouldn't be an issue.
There wouldn't be an issue.
But because he said, it's true, you're a car of Tvei, so that's not Hadas Bavin. Otherwise, it'd be Matana.
Right.
Now, there's a different gear to the Gemara, and that, yeah. No, the Rashbam is saying, we treat it as Matana, even though.
Right.
So, for a Chizda.
Right.
So what I'm saying, Gufa, that might be what a Abai and Rava might say. Listen, even if it's his chayvus, That doesn't mean you treat it as matana. We treat it as a translate. We take whatever the consequences are of the story that you're telling. I mean, the Rashbam is saying that for Rav Chisda, number one, it's a sideless, and number two, we break it down to consequences, ignoring the implication, even on a sideless level, of the story. And Abai and Rava could say, number one, maybe Chavdos Faldin is Avis. And even if it's a sideless, since it's in the form of an admission about the case, about the story, so we should treat it differently. Now the truth is, that last point about a schaibus to a case or to a story being something in between is in my suggestion. The Ksos clearly didn't see it this way. The Ksos in Siman Lama Dalet, Sifkat and Dalet, should just tell you, when he wants to attack the view that that Hadas Faldin is a schaibus, he quotes this. Some people think Hadas Faldin is only a schaibus. He says it can't be, because if it was really a schaibus, and he starts quoting cases like this, Kol Omer Lo Lavisi, we say Ki Ilu Omer Lo Paraiti. Like, let's say if you go over to somebody and you say you owe me money, right? And he says to you, I never met you, or I never lent you money, at least, right? Then Adam come along and they prove. They say, well, we were there when the halvah took place. And then he says, oh, fine, but I paid you back. Now, if he had said I paid you back right away, you know, there's no shtar, that'd be fine. But he did it. So we have a rule called, you know, he's his own, you know, worst enemy. Kol omer lo lavisi, ki ilu omer lo paraiti. If you make the claim that you never lent money, then you can't turn around and say I paid it back. So the Ksos says, you know, that's based on a kind of hodas palbin kime edim dami, but it's not hodas palbin kime edim dami where the guy really intended to lose money. When he said originally, Lola Visi was trying to save money. He was protecting himself. Right? Because he said it, so we hold him to that statement, and we say, Koloma Lola Visi Kilom, now that you admitted, and now you were forced to admit that you borrowed the money, right? So that's the equivalent of saying, I borrowed and I didn't. When you said, I didn't borrow, you were saying, I didn't pay. So you can't turn around now and say, I paid. So the Ksos says, but if it's all a schaibus and not nemanus, and he doesn't want to be mischaiv, so what's the problem? My answer would be, and a few other questions that he asks also is, there's a in-between category of schaibus. That's called the schaibus of nemanus, meaning he's mischaiv himself to a certain scenario, and we hold him to it, for better or for worse. Right? That's not the same as breaking everything down and saying, oh, here's $100. Now here's $10. That's how the Ksos is looking at it. Like Rav Chisda did for this tzak. But even Abai and Rava, when they say Kiman da Odi Odi, may not be turning their back on the idea of the Skybus, they just may be, you know, expanding the idea of the Skybus in this case, which I think would be very logical. Anyway, there's another view of this whole story of Rav Barad Odin, and that is that the fellow did not, the rival did not turn around and admit that Rav Ivi Baravin was a closer relative than him. What really happened was he never admitted it. But there were Edom who came and who testified that Rav Ivi Baravin was the closest Karov. So if you have this dispute between Rav Ivi Baravin and this other relative, right, each one saying they're the closest relatives, and the other fellow is living in the karka and eating the payros, and then Adam come along and they back up the position of Ravibi Bar Ovid. So the Gemara says, fine, he gets the dekel because he has the Adam on his side. Then Ravibi Bar Ovid said, not so fast. What about my payros? Right? So here the idea is that the rival says to him, what do you mean your payros? The only reason you know that there were payros, or how many payros, is because I have been honest enough to tell you about it. So Migu di Bar Yamar, I could have said, right, that there are no payros. I didn't need a thing. Shvineman Lomar, right? The payros, right, were mine and I ate them. I'll show you inside in a second. What is that? Migo b'malchum Edim. Or really, as we'll see in a moment, Pesha also Pesha Hitzer b'malchum Edim. Because he's the one who brings up the pain. Without him, there's no information. No one knows that there were peiros, or that he ate peiros, aside from his admission. So Peshas and Pesha Hitter, without his input, implying his honesty, right, there would be no peiros to be, right, arguing over. At the same time, we're supposed to believe in that the peiros belong to him when the Edom themselves say that Ravidi Baravan is the closer relative. Now he himself holds on adamantly to his claim that he's the closer relative.
There's no Shehitir here.
What do you mean there's no Shehitir? There is Shehitir. I'm the closest relative.
No, no. This Edom, it's not his Hodor that gave the Deco to Ravidi. It was Edom that came later.
Right, but it's his Hodor that creates the peiros.
So there's no Shehitir.
There is. So it's negative. So negative. The hit there is Edim. There's a pesha of the pesha hit here, right? Without me, you wouldn't know that there anybody ate peiros. And I'm telling you that they're my peiros because the Edim are wrong. But the hit here is against Edim. Instead of having migu negative Edim, what do we have? Pesha of the pesha hit here negative Edim. That's all we have.
There's so of different issues. Though.
What do you mean different issues?
The Edom are talking about issue one, and he's talking about Peros, which is issue two.
No, because the Edom are saying that he's the closest Karov.
Yes. Right.
And if he's the closest Karov, then that means that the Peros belong to him. I thought there's two different issues. The only thing is that we wouldn't know that there were Peros if not for him. But his entitlement to those, he's only entitled to those Peros if he's the closest relative, and the Edom say that he's not. The knowledge about Peros, Pesha Asar, come from the Karov, the other fellow. The Pesha Hitter is, I'm the Karov of Tvei, that's directly conflicted, and therefore I have the right to them, I'm entitled to them, that is directly conflicted by the Edim. So instead of Migu Geneged Edim, right, what was the other case that we had in the Gemara? Zelmer Shalav Osai, Zelmer Shalav Osai. Right? Zeh the Edim. And the other guy says, "There are Osai, but I don't have Edim, but I have a Migu, because I have Gimel Shnei Chazaka. Migu Dibai, I could have said, I bought it from you. Therefore, believe me when I say what? Shalav Osai." In both cases, the Tainus Heter of the fellow contradicts the Edim. In both cases, in one case he has a Migu, and in the other case, he has a Peshaos and Pesha Hitir. So if you look at the Balamor here very quickly, on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, I just want to show you this discussion. Krevi Durav Ibi Baravin. Yud Zayin Amud Aleph on the Balamor in the bottom. Bottom is, the Hamor HaGadol. Everybody have it? Krevi Durav Ibi Baravin. Azal Rav Ibi Baravin. I see Sahadi. Notice it's a different girsa. But Edi Baravan went out and brought actual Edim to prove that he's the Karov today. He's the closest relative. The Ihu Preve, the Logar Sinan, the Ihu Mekarev today. The Balamor says, I don't like this Girsa. The Girsa that he brought evidence that he is the Karov today. I don't like that Girsa. Why? The Ihachi, if it's true, Amay Amrina B'maskana, Kivin the Odi Odi. If it really happened that way, namely, that Rav Ibi Baravan has witnesses that he's the Karov today, that the other fellow has the Peshas and Peshahitir, I didn't have to admit about the Peros. But then, why did the Gemara say, Kivin de Odi Odi? They should have said, Mali Lashaker, B'moko Medim, Lamrina, that's exactly the same as what we had before. What's the difference? So the Balamor says, therefore, I don't like the Girsa of Kurim today. I like the Girsa that it's even a more complicated case. Other Rishonim go this way too, but it's not for now. I'll just tell you what it is, what the case is. The case is, Rabbi Baravan brought evidence that he's a Karov. Both of these claim to be the closest Krovim, and only Rabbi Baravan was able to prove that he's a Karov at all. The other fellow still claims that he's a Karov and that he's a Karov today. the Edom that Ravidi Baravin brought didn't prove that he's Karov today than the other guy, just that he's a Karov. It proved that he's a cousin. The other guy said, I'm his brother. Right? But he has no evidence that never mind, he has no evidence that he's his brother. For all we know, he's not even his cousin. So then it becomes an issue of Ein Safek Motzei Midei Badai. Very fascinating other scenario, all different topic in the Rishon. Not for now. For our purposes, according to the Baal HaMor, why does Baal HaMor not like the Girsa that the guy brought evidence for Na Karivna that Ravidi used to say? Because it would be the equivalent of Migu B'Mokom Edim, and the Gemara sort of reflected that in their language. So the Ramban...
The Edim would have testified that he's Korov Tvei. They were in fact saying that the other one is not a Korov Tvei.
Correct.
Because you can't have two Korov Tveis.
Right.
So that means that the testimony of the Edim is not only on behalf of Rabbi Baravin, but it's against his opponents.
Okay. Good. Migu b'mochom eich, migu neged
Edim. So you don't
have to
come on to
it to migu b'mochom eich. No, that's what migu neged Edim is.
But the Edim were testifying against him.
That's what every migu neged Edim is. Every migu neged Edim is Edim that supports one side and is contradicted by the other side. Right? That's what we said. The only way it will be real migu b'mochom Edim on Lamed Aleph and Lamed Gimel is if we say that they're mutually exclusive, meaning it's contradiction. Now, if you look at the Ramban, just the second to last line on the page in the Ramban on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, in the middle of the line, Umay Da'ala Lo Gar Sinan, the Iyu Metariv today, Bishum Dula Minan Hocha Ma'al Lushakad B'Lokom Edom Lo Minan. This is a quotation of Baal HaMor, right? Baal HaMor's argument against that Girsa, because otherwise this should have been the usual Migo B'Lokom Edom. Says Ramban, that argument doesn't depress me, says Ramban. Why? Here's Ramban saying, right, maybe there's a difference between Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, and Migu. When it comes to Migu, we say Malu Shakar B'Mokom Edom Lo Amrin. When it comes to Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir, now, if you just stop here and you take it out of context, you can walk away with from Ramban and think that there's a sensational Kiddush in the Ramban. And that is that Pesha Asar Pesha Hitir, B'Mokom Edim Amrina. That far, the Ramban does not really go. What the Ramban does say, though, is that the language of the Gemara is different than in Ma'al L'Shaker, Kivin to Odi Odi. And that difference in formulation is justified because the idea of Tesh Asar from Mokom Edim is a far more acceptable notion to consider, even though it doesn't work, than the other. Lefika Hizkir Hodaso Shehiya Mechaivaso
L'Shalem. Ramban is learning the same case as the Baal
HaMor. Ramban saying you could accept that Girsa, this objection of the Baal HaMor is not a sufficient objection to reject
Girsa.
That Girsa, because there could be a difference between Migu and Pesha Asar. Now this idea is very, very consistent with the Ramban all over the place. I think I mentioned this several times. I should make a methodological point, but first I'll make the first point. I think I've mentioned many times that Rashi and the Ramban seem open, particularly the Ramban, to distinguishing between Pesha Asars and Migus. Whereas the Bali Tosas generally mix and match them and do not distinguish. Now and then they will make a distinction, but it's a quantitative distinction which they characterize as Migu Dibai Shafik. I didn't have to say a word. Instead of saying, oh, it's Pesha Asar, it's a different story. Now, having said that, I should mention there are also cases that we've seen already and many others where the Ramban does not distinguish between Pesha Asar and Migu. Just because Pesha Asar is qualitatively superior to Migu doesn't mean that everything that doesn't work for Migu works for Pesha Asar. This is actually a great example where you have both. Ramban is saying, just because Pesha Asar B'Mokom Edim is absurd, doesn't mean Pesha Asar B'Mokom Edim is absurd. but it also doesn't mean that Pastor Asa is going to win. Right? So there are things that don't work for Pastor Asa, for the Ramban, even though he happens to be the one who is most open to distinguish it. Now, another case where he distinguishes, which I think highlights, again, the qualitative difference, I'm going to show you in just 1 minute. But before I do that, I'm just going to mention one other, or two other Makoros very quickly. The Rina Gash, later on Daf Lamed Gimel also, in different contexts, also talks about Pesha, also Pesha Hitir, the Makom Eidim. And he says the only reason Pesha, also Pesha Hitir doesn't work, the Makom Eidim, is because Pesha, also Pesha Hitir generally is a Taina de Mistabra. Very interesting formulation. It's a very logical, it's a compelling, the way I would translate it, it's a compelling Taina. What he means is that Pesha Asar is even more compelling, probably, than Migu. And what he says is, but Moko Maiden, it's not so compelling. Now that's an interesting formulation, because one would have expected that we find something else, and that is, the Moko Maiden, right? Anything other than, you know, other competing Adim is nothing. But the issue isn't that when you have a Malkom Adim, it's hard to believe in the Migu. Or in this case, it's hard to see the Pesha Asar as being so compelling when you consider that it's against the Adim. That's different than saying Adim is fact, and when you have fact, right, anything else is insignificant. What the Rina Gash is saying is, this is a weaker Pesha Asar because it's against Adim. But in Akhenami, if there was a way to preserve intact, right, the pristine, compelling character of this Pesha Asar, notwithstanding the fact that it's against an Adim, it could give Adim a run for its money. That's a remarkable implication. Again, he doesn't, you know, it's Mekla Lavat Asher Me'ahein. It's an implication. It's an important implication. Yeah.
Doesn't Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitir have the same weakness as Hodat Balvin in terms of the testimony, in terms of establishing the fact?
I'm not sure why. Why is that again, exactly?
Well, Hodat Balvin, as I believe the Rav was saying before.
Oh, I see what you're asking. Well, what is the status of Hodat Balvin Keneged Eidim? Here, this is the major machlokas we've shown him. We talked about it a little bit on Lamed Omud Beis. It comes up there in the Rashbam and Tosus and the Rambam. And the Rambam. Right, let's say the fellow says, I've been in the Karka for 3 years. If you remember the case, the guy said, 4 years ago, tells us, I bought this karka from Ploni, I've been here for 3 years. And then the other guy says, that's very nice, but 4 years ago I bought it from him, and I have shtar. The bottom case in Lamed Omud Beis. So then the Gemara says, the other fellow turned around and said to him, no, I didn't mean 3 years. I meant Shnei Chazaka. It's really 7 years. So the Rashbam and Tosus and the Ramban have the discussion, and let's say he has evidence that he's been there 7 years, but he really only said 3 years and didn't correct himself. Is this evidence, the 7 years, weightier than his words of 3 years? So the Rishonim there talk about this question: what is the relationship between Hodah Spaldin Keneged Eidim? We say normally Hodah Spaldin Kimei Eidim Dami. What about Hodah Spaldin when the Eidim are trying to absolve you and you're trying to indict yourself? So I think I mentioned that. That's the big machlokes of Shonim in a bunch of places. Kedushin Samach Hei, Kedushin Samach Vav, the Meiri in one place, the Hazakin in the other. That's the big argument. Now again, if Hodah Spaldin is a skybus, so you can understand why I can always commit myself even to Makom Eidim. If the skybus is about a scenario, then there's more of an issue. If it's actual nemanus, so it's two types of nemanus, an interesting issue. But most of Shalom are of the opinion that for whatever reason, Hodas Faldin will indict you, even negatendum. Absolutely true. Here, of course, you're trying to use Pesha Asar not against your interest, but for your interest. That's what makes it different. It isn't the same. Okay. Anyways, the Rimigash in, I'm sorry, that's the Rimigash. The Rav Haigon, in his Sefer Mishpatei Shavuos, has a line in which he seems to say that Pesha also Pesha Hitter, again, is a single statement. Either you take it or leave it. One could perhaps say that that may be true in the Mako Medin, meaning this idea that you don't edit, you either accept in toto or reject completely a statement, Pesha also Pesha Hitter, that that might apply. Even the Mako Medin is something to consider. Either way, the Rav Haigon, Rimigash, Rambana Mochamos, these are all issues that raise the question, even if Migu B'mokomedim O'minon, what about Pesha Asar on various levels? This idea of the Ramban, that one can distinguish between Pesha Asar and Migu and some of these big issues, comes up in another place as well. And that is later on, again, in the Gemara, on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Right after the Gemara about Migu B'mokomedim, the same Gemara, as we discussed, the Gemara appears on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Zemr Shalavosei, Zemr Shalavosei, Hayin Sisad, top of the page. Tavosei Hu Hayin Sisad, Nid Achol Shnei Chazaka. Amrav Chizamal, Nishakrin, Bayomer, Leminak, Tzvinta, Vachol Kiyo Shnei Chazaka. Abai Varavel, Osir, Lehadu, Rav Chizamal, Nishakrin, Mokar, Minim, Lo Amin. The exact same Shakrin. Vitari, we discussed whether it's the same Gemara, a different Gemara, the Mar Shah, the Rukinegar, fine. Then the Gemara says as follows. Hahud Amalei Lechavrei, my boy is Bahayara. Once the guy said to the other fellow, what are you doing on my property? Amalei said to Minach Zavni Vachantia Shnei Chazaka. I bought it from you, and I've been here 3 years. The usual case. So what's unusual about this? Why is this case being recorded? So the Gemara says, Ozel Aisi Sahadid Akli Tarte Chani. He said, I've been here for 3 years, right? It's my property. But he can only deliver 2 years of evidence. Ah. So what happens? We know he needs 3 years. He's going to lose the case. But there's a tricky part here, because Amrav Nachman, Hadra Ara, we had this on Chof Kesson Base actually, Hadra Ara Vahadri Peri. Not only does he not win the case, right, but by saying that I've been there and I've been eating the peros for 2 years, what does he do? He now obligates himself to pay, because he has no chazaka. So the Gemara says, Amrav Zvid, in Tan, the Amar, Leperus Yoradati, Naaman. However, if his claim is not, to begin with, if his claim is not that I bought the field, I've been there, I'm the owner, but if he says, I've been eating your karka for 2 years, because we have an agreement, and I paid you for it, that would be Naaman. That's a regular case of call for by call. Right? Okay. And so on. That's the Gemara. Now, two issues. So Tosfos asks the following question. If you look at the Tosfos here, Dibra Maska, in the middle of Dibra Maska, the Itan, the top Tosfos, but right in the middle of the Tosfos. Sim Tomar? Sim Tomar. Kilo Amar Nami Leperus Yeradati, the Gemara says as follows, right? If he says the property belongs to me and he can only deliver 2 years of evidence, so he has to pay the payros. If he said I've been eating the payros for 2 years because I made an agreement only about the payros, we believe him. Tosfos asks in Tomar, Kilo Amar Nami Leperus Yeradati, El Da'isi Sahadi, the Achol Beis Shanim. Why don't we believe him when he says, I'm the owner of the field, I've been eating the peros in that capacity? Right? Migu di bayamar le peros yaradati. If he'd say the peros yaradati, we'd believe him, we wouldn't charge him. He has a lie that absolves him of paying for the peros. So when he says, I've been eating the peros because I'm the owner, we should believe him too. Right? That's a good question. That's Tosfos' question. Tosfos says, Lav Pirkahi. It's not a good question. Tosfos comes up with a new principle. The Einza Migu, Sharibol Itzvo Gamakarka. What does he mean? So some Rishonim call this Migu Dimigareya Lechatzitaina. a meager which undercuts half of your claim. What's Tosa saying? Tosa, listen. What are you saying? We should believe the guy. He could have said Lepeiros Yerasi, and he wouldn't have to pay a penny. Therefore, we should believe him when he says what? It's my property. I bought it, and that's why I've been eating. But if he would have said to begin with, Lepeiros Yerasi, right, then he would have been conceding the karka. I've got a better taina. That's the worst taina. He really wants to say, I'm the owner of the karka, it's mine, the real estate belongs to me. Right? He couldn't come up with 3 years of evidence like he claimed he had. So it turns out that now he has to pay $10,000 worth of payrolls for the last 2 years, in addition to losing the case on the karka. So now you're saying, let's save him the $10,000, because he had a migu, he could have said, to begin with, that the $10,000 was the parent's charity. But if he had said that, then he wouldn't be making the claim for the million-dollar property. So that's not a better taina, it's a worse taina. It's what the Rishonim called a migu dimigareya lachati taina, meaning on the payros part, it's a good migu. But in the totality of the taina, he'd rather say that I'm the owner, because that gives him the property, than say that I made a deal about the payros, which doesn't give him the property. Migu de Megarea, Lakati Taina, Lo Amrinan. It's an inferior Taina. It's as, you know, effective a Taina on the payros as the other one, but the total Taina is inferior. That's the view of Bali Tosfos. So the Ramban points out, is this so obvious that Migu HaMegarea, Lakati Taina, is not a migu? That's so obvious or not? Number one. And he zeroes in on the following issue that the Rashbam talks about, which is a whole debate between the Rashbam and Tosfos, etc. Look at the Rashbam here. Bahadri Peiri. The Rashbam deals with another issue. Let's say there was no evidence whatsoever in this case, right, that there was Achilas Peiros. Let's say the only reason that we know there was Achilas Peiros came from him. He's the source. So Nigudi Bayamar Lo Achalti Neman Lomar Achalti Vishali Achalti. Right? Is that a good Migu or not? So there's Rashbam here says Vahadri Peiri Shabesh Shanim Shachah Shalom Kadim. So Lotain mi kara aris ayisi didn't originally say I was a sharecropper with a payer sharadati. The memnino lake will come on. The shnar the payer the abdi and she. Bahani mili bediki sadi dachil the payer. So this whole case is a case where we know objectively that he ate the payros. Abdi lake is sadi dachil the payer. Elabodars piv. The only way we know that he ate the payros was his admission. The hutain does abna minach vachatin on the payer in the ara. The payer di dininu. Ara kivin delay slay raya bishtar v'le dechazaka hadr lamara. The chayim shu asesas ala peros. Tis ad nina minei, tamigin amatzi amala chalti peros, ki ima'at, kagon ayl kura v'afik tvei mikura, to bahachi ab chazaka tila kaman, ki amar achli tuba v'lidi achli mehemen, vein kan ma'al l'shakar v'makom edim, she'en yadua im loka karkazumi baleha im lo. What's he saying? If he didn't have any evidence at all about the Achilles Peiros other than his admission, we would believe him when he says, we wouldn't believe him to get the karka because he doesn't have Gimel Shanim. But we'd believe him and we wouldn't charge him for the in the Peiros, we'd believe him. What's the difference between that and the cases we were talking about before where it's Kenegadim? So the Rashbam says, it's not Kenegadim here. He doesn't win the karka, not because our edim against him, but because he doesn't have sufficient evidence to win. He doesn't have gilul shadim. But there's no evidence against his claim. There's just not enough evidence for his claim. So the karka claim is insufficient. Insufficient is not the equivalent of against, right? The peiros is an open question. We believe in about entirely slinging peiros bimigu. But lo dami lo hadabai v'rava de poling alev d'rav chizel el, referring to a crazy dravidi bar, so on. Also, given his bar milsa dravidi karav tvei, how he noticed she'en lo chelik v'karka, Uperos Shalakal Shalom Kedin Alkal Afilu Podas Piv Lachayev. Meaning, in the case of Kravid Rabbi Maradin, according to the scenario, according to his admitting, he should have to pay the payros. But here, the reason he gives back the karka is only because it's inadequate evidence. Inadequate evidence is not the same as evidence against. And therefore, in Inyan the payros, we believe. Now, the Rashbam is skirting on a very tricky issue here. Notice when he says the words, Kagon Ayokura, the Afik Tfei Mikura, what's he saying? Maybe they'll all call Peros, Migu Debatsi Amr, they'll all call Peros Kiemat. Well, why Kiemat? Why does he have to admit that he ate any Peros? Obviously, the Rashbam is concerned about Tosus's Klal. Mainly which Klal? Migu de Megareya Vichatzi Taina. Because what are you going to say? The guy could have said, I didn't eat at all. Right? So when he says, I ate, right, 2 years worth, the Torah, the owner, you should believe him. What do you mean he could have said, I didn't eat at all? And then he would, if he said, I didn't eat at all, he wouldn't be making the claim that he's the owner of the field. Right? And he wants to be the owner of the field. The big prize is to be the owner of the field. The payros are, you know, that's the top fellow here, not the Ikar. That's why the Rashbam goes out of his way to say, we don't know how much peiros he ate, that he ate some peiros, the minimum, that constitutes some sort of Maisa Chazaka, for sure. That much we know, because that's part of his claim that he's the owner. But a little or a lot, right, that's a big nafkamina in terms of the amount of payment. On that amount, on that extra, he has a Migu. In other words, Rashbam is worried about Migu to the Gareya Michatzitaina. So it's here with Ramban, zeroing on that point. Look at the, this is last week's Mamakal. We haven't got to this week yet. I don't think we'll get to this week yet, but hopefully we will. Oh, you know what? I don't think I have last week. Oh, wait a minute.
Last week you had it in your, you showed it to me in your
exactly. Yeah.
You didn't send anything out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You mean
from
it was a tweak to the also.
Number 8.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I have only one suit. What I do is I color it, I change it.
Not in the case.
What's that?
Yeah.
To raise your salary.
No, it's fine. It's not a salary thing. It's just a hishtabut kind of thing. No, it's like humility and hishtabut. It's a value thing. Okay. Look at the second Ramban. Amrav Zvid. He turns over Paris to Radek Inamah. If a guy says, I bought the property, right, and I've been there for 3 years, the also Sadi, and witnesses come and they say, they only confirm that he's been there 2 years, am I Hodri Peiri? Why do the payrolls get returned? According to the Bali Tosas, except he has a formulation, my Kabbalah, but answering this question is, this Tosas question, the Migu Ligroa Lom Rinan. A migu which is based on a worse taina is not a migu. Klamar, in other words, ain't over migu the yachal the of the peros seranity. You're not going to say, oh, he could have said, I made a deal just on the peros, for a name of the peros, jamanam the kuche biyadi a name of the peros. Therefore, when he says, I bought the property, you should believe him on the peros. Taishkurim the shaker, because all we know that's a lie. You don't have the usual credibility generated by the migu. The reason he didn't use that pina in his pocket is because doing so would relegate him to being a balaperos and not a balakarka. But Pikachlomi knew off the pit. So why should we believe him about the peros? Because he has a worse pina? He didn't say the worst pina, and therefore we're impressed. Now, like in the name of Malu Shaker, he has every good reason not to say the taina in his pocket. Right? Dim Tomar, Hamaran, the Echad Alekis, Sahadi, the Achal, Mehemet Lomar, Achli, the Didi, Achli, Migudi Bayom al Achli, Meholdim, Mamsid Ara. Ah, but what about the case of the Rajbam, where we don't know that he ate at all, and we believe him, right? Because he could have said, I didn't eat, therefore we believe him that he ate as an owner. Even though it won't win him the karka, but it'll exempt him from the payros. Karpirish Rashbam. That's why the Rashbam went out of his way to say the migudim bayomar lo achli alapurt kamar. What we meant is not that he didn't eat at all, but he didn't eat much. Kamar can go to zarakura the alpik purta same kura tavachazaka legabe arav lo griya tanase. Quotes the Rashbam. Then he adds as follows: Yeshomrim shein tzorach adiver harav b'shul bazeh. We don't need to answer the way the Rashbam did. We have another answer. You'll see he has two other answers. The Haslam Kim the Lake Asadi the Achal. The Shasak Iu Miftar. Ki Omar Achli. Bididi Achli. Havle Apesh Asar Wa Apeshi Hitir. He says, actually, in the case of the Rashbam, he doesn't have to explain his Achilas Peros and justify it and exempt himself. He initiates the king of Peros. It's not a migu. What is it? Peshasar, Peshahitir. Kim the lake of Sahadi Dachal, we don't know that he ate. The Shasak, if he was quiet, Iu Miptar, he'd be Potter. Kiamar Achla bin Diach, Havle Peshasar, Peshahitir. The Apagav, the Chitoim, the Kucha, Ibi Yade, Alume, Alma. Even though the better Taina is to say, I bought it. And therefore it's migu to mikareya lechati taina, the tanase mehemen. Nonetheless, when it comes to pesha asar, even if it's mikareya lechati taina, you believe it. Shari ko atzmucha in chayachal letovo peros elal pio daso. Aval hecha netzorach taina kegon bo edim shach alo aminam amitoch shiachal legareya tanase yei mehemen. What is Ramban doing? Ramban is saying this principle of mikareya lechati taina is only a problem in migu, but when it comes to pesha asar, pesha hitir, it's fine. That's a huge nafkamina. Why? Because again, the idea of pesha asar, pesha hitir, let's say, is you are the source of information. There's no palgina. We don't edit your comments. We accept your comment. We reject your comment. We don't edit it. We don't say, oh, we believe you linyan this, selectively, not linyan that. That has nothing to do with megareya. It's not a question of nemanus. The question of migo megareya, lechati tain, as Ramban himself says, is a question of emes and sheker. Pesha asa pesha hitir transcends emes and sheker. It's about, right, consistency. You're not going to selectively edit my statement. You're either going to accept it in totem, or you're not going to accept it. And therefore, even migul megareya lechati taina, ipesh also pesha yitzer megareya lechati taina is fine. But niomer, then he has one other pshat. One second. She'ein tzorach lefarish harav Reb Shmuel bazeh. In addition, there's another reason why you don't have to accept the Rashbam, that it's ayel kura purta whatever. Mishin d'hasani bayomer minak zvinta v'lo achle mina adayim klum. Another explanation. In addition to the distinction between Pashasar and Migu, which I say is consistent with the Ramban generally and with what he said about the Mokomedim as well, he has another point, and that is the idea of migu megareya lechati taina, says the Ramban, is only when you really have a shot at winning, right? And basically you sacrifice, you would have to sacrifice winning the bigger prize in order to secure the smaller payment. But in the case of the Rashbam, right, you don't have Edom on 3 years anyway. So, you know, you could have said I didn't eat any Peros at all. You're not going to win either way, because even if you say I did eat Peros, and you have 2 years of Edom, you still don't have a third year. That's also an interesting question. Is it considered Mingulik Migarea Lechatzitaina if your story is inferior, but there's no halachic impact because the superior story wouldn't win it for you either? It's still inadequate. Where do you draw the line? Then at the end of the piece, he says, this whole idea of Migo Migarea Lechatzitaina, I'm not so sure about it. Just 1 second. Zeklal, if you see the second to last line, Lo min amigo garua lechati tiny kid appreciates Zeklal tzarich iunu bedika v'talmud tam nachonu. He's not sure about the whole thing. Okay. The question of Nigel b'mokam edim is a question.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. It's just. I didn't say it's in checker. I said it's a matter of. I'm trying to remember exactly what phrase I used, but what I said is it's a matter of consistency, of accepting a statement in total or not accepting at all.
Well, isn't that Emerson Checker?
No. Emerson Checker means because of what you could have said, because of what you did say, we believe you more, we believe you less. That's Migu. You could say that about Pesha Asar too. You could say Pesha Asar is even a stronger Migu. What we've been saying all along is that there are perspectives in the Rishonim. That's the difference between, I think, Tosfos and the other Rishonim, is that Pesha Asar is not just a stronger Migu. What it is it's a whole different idea. The idea is that the source of information comes from him. And therefore you either accept that source or you don't accept that source. But you don't edit the source. In other words, if I consider this to be an authoritative comment, then I should accept it. Resha and Seifa. If I don't consider the source to be authoritative enough, then it shouldn't register legally either, Resha and Seifa. What Ramban is saying is, the Peros Yeradati comes from him. He doesn't just say Peros Yeradati. He says, the Peros Yeradati, Biglal Shalukucha Hibiyadi. You don't have the right to take his statement, the Peros Yeradati, without also accepting his statement, Biglal Shalukucha Hibiyadi. If you don't want to accept the Biglal Shalukucha Hibiyadi because you think that that's not an authoritative statement, then don't accept the first part either. That's different than Migu, where the source of information doesn't come from you. The problem exists independent of you. Now we're ready to hear how you are proposing to resolve the problem that you face. You face a problem because Edim, the Taina, the objective facts, right, have created a problem for you. Now, to be fair, we're interested in hearing your solution. We need to know, is it an impressive solution, is it an unimpressive solution, etc. But the problem doesn't arise from you. There's no, that's not Pesha Asa Tashahit. So what I meant was that, number one, Pesha Asa Tashahit here is a stronger, even stronger basis for credibility. But, from a credibility point of view, Migarea Chatzitaina is always going to lose you the case. Because from an honesty point of view, it's never, as Ramban says, it's never impressive that you're suppressing a taina that's worse for you. It's only impressive when you suppress a taina that is better for you. So what Ramban is saying, I think, is forget about emes and sheker, because migarei lechatzitaina is always going to exclude that. But there's a different point in Pesha Asar, aside from credibility. Namely, you have to accept or you reject, but you do not edit this integrated single source. If you consider it to be, legally significant statement, then take it. If you don't, then don't. But you don't have a right to chop it up. That has nothing to do with Emerson Schechter. That has to do with the status or level of authority of this datum, basically. Yeah?
Are you saying that there is no set of requirements of proof after the 3 years?
No, I'm not saying that. We're not talking about the proof of the 3 years. He's going to lose the field because he can't bring the he hasn't had the 3 years, unless he had a separate pesh, also peshahitir, or migu about his ownership. But in these cases that we're talking about, he doesn't have that about the ownership. He only has that about the achilas peros.
So we could believe him after his claim for 3 years, because...
But we can't act on it.
But we can't act on it.
Because he doesn't have 3 years.
Because he doesn't have the proof.
Right.
So we can believe both.
Well, we don't believe it or not. On the karka part, we don't believe it or not believe it. We can withhold judgment about it. But that, as the Rashbam points out, withholding judgment and saying, well, you don't yet have an adequate, evidence, is not the same as saying we don't believe you.
Right.
And therefore, when it comes to Peros, where he does have adequate information,
yeah,
we could say, well, we'll apply the Peros part, we won't apply the Karka part. As opposed to other cases like the Kravid or Avidi Bar Avin, where distinguishing between the Peros and the Karka is a contradiction in the scenario. Because, there's a single source, for both Karka and the Talta, and that is Karav Tvei or Lo Karav Tvei. Either you accept it or you don't. So that's Rashbam's point.
So we could believe that the Pesha, his claim that he's an owner for 3 years.
We can believe it vis-a-vis Peros, even though it isn't sufficient. We don't believe it enough. We don't have a migu that he's an owner. We only have a migu, right, that he could win these Peros.
We're not talking about migu. We're talking about Pesha, he's Pesha.
I mean, in this case.
Right.
But the Peshach Peshit is only about the Peros. It's not about the Karka. Peshach Peshitir is the Peros, meaning I could suppress the fact that I've been eating Peros for 3 years. I don't have a Peshach Peshitir that I'm the owner of the Karka for three years. Only that I've been eating for the past 3 or 2 years.
We don't disbelieve him.
We don't have a Pesha Osar for that either. That's why he's not going to win. A Pesha Osar without 3 years will win in the Karka if the Pesha Osar is about the Karka. For example, that's the Mishnah in Ksuvos that we've spoken about several times, where the Mishnah says, Modu Rabbi Yoshua. Right, if the guy could say, let's say the Marakama doesn't have any evidence that he's Marakama. But I'm the source that he's the Marakama. I say, I admit that you're the Marakama, which no one would know if not for my admission. Right? But I bought the Karka from you a year ago. No, 3 years. According to the Mishnah, and the simple reading of the Mishnah, the Gemara and Ksuvos, I would win. Because I have a Pesha Osa Pesha Hitir, which allows me to dispense with the 3 years. But that's a Pesha Osa Pesha Hitir on my ownership. The Pesha Osa Pesha Hitir that we're talking about in the Rashbam, and the Ramban, is not about his ownership of the Karka. It's only about his obligation regarding the payros. That doesn't turn into ownership of the Karka. Just that his inability to own the Karka or to prove adequately that he owns the Karka is not going to be a mark against him either. That's all we're saying. Okay, that's just to have just one other minute, and that is the question of Migu B'Mokom Edim comes up in all sorts of other issues as well. And we're not going to go into them because, we have to move on. And next week we'll discuss the Kifan Kizmar Makom, we'll discuss the question of Akasha. But just so you shouldn't be aware, the Ramban, in his talk about, when he talks about Migu B'Mokom Edim, discusses the problem of Migu B'Mokom Hodas Baldin. Right? Which, in light of our discussions about Hodas Baldin Kanadim, that is very interesting. The Ramban tries to prove that there's no Manda Amar who could conceivably think that Migu works Neged Edim, because this, again, Shavuos, which proves that Migu definitely doesn't work against Hodos Baldin Kanadim Dami. But in light of our discussion, especially if that's the Chaibus, it doesn't prove anything. Right? Because his Chaibus doesn't, Migu against his Chaibus doesn't work. It doesn't mean that Migu against Adam doesn't work. Moreover, the difference between maybe subjective Adas, objective Adas. There are reasons to be Bechalik, but the Ramban makes the equation. The Gemara in a number of places speaks about migu makom edim, where it's really migu most pointed most rishonim keneged anan sahadi, a very strong rove, a very strong umdana. The Gemara calls it migu neged edim. The Gemara about mitzia and ksuvus chavzayin. It's really a case where it's migu the makom anan sahadi. That's another example. There's a discussion in the Shach and others. What about migu b'makom shtika kahoda? Normally we say shtika kahoda. Right, if you're silent on certain things, it proves that you're guilty. But let's say you have a migu against. So this question of migu neged, the truth is the Gemara in Balbasra, maybe we'll take a minute next time to discuss it, the Gemara in Balbasra, the Hamad Days, talks about migu b'mokum chazaka. So you have a migu on one side, and a chazaka in an parea toksmano. People don't repay their debts before they're due. Very strong chazaka. But let's say the guy could say, migu, I could have said I don't owe you money. Believe me when I say I owe you money, but I paid you back early. Is paying back early so absurd that we wouldn't believe the migu? And how does that fit in with the rest of Shas, where there seems to be some gemaras where migu certainly beats out chazaka, and other gemaras where chazaka certainly beats out migu? Are there different types of migus or different types of chazaka? That's a huge discussion in the Rishonim. And then there's a Gemara in Kiddushin about it as well, and Samach Gimel. So there's a lot more to discuss in Migu B'Mokom Edim. Next week we'll discuss a case, what about Migu B'Mokom Edim when it's Trey or Trey? You have a Chashas Edim and you have a Migu. So we'll discuss that in the continuation of the next Gemara.